and that he would never not love me ever again. That I was going to be in his everlasting love. And I that doctrine of eternal life. Some of the old preachers had a hard time calling it eternal security. They didn't call it that. And I think I know why, because there was so much of a defense concerning people who made a profession and didn't hold to the line. So I come up with my own, I guess you could say, my own statement about it. I believe in eternal sanctification. Amen. I believe if you ever get saved, you persevere. Yeah. You'll be saved today and saved tomorrow and saved the rest of your life since you've been saved.
Yeah, amen.
And you don't have to worry about losing it.
That's right.
Because God will love you forever. Because
right.
He always has, I found out later, always did love me anyway.
Right.
His love didn't start when I got saved.
Right.
And it didn't start when he died for me on the cross. It started in eternity past.
Right.
It goes way back so far, you can't even go back that far, no more than you can go that far over there in eternity future.
Right.
You'll never get that figured out. God's God. You ain't going to figure him out. When you get him figured out, then you're as smart as him, and then you're God. And I don't believe in that stuff. So I was thinking, I'm going to preach tonight. I'm preaching because God wants me to. And
amen.
This message is going to fit now. In my mind, it fits. Because as David had a job to do, so I have a job to do. And I believe my job as God's man is to cause the kingdom of God to permeate your life. When I say permeate, I'm going to give you how the kingdom of God is permeated into the dough, into the bread. Into your flesh, into your life. I want to give that to you tonight. So go to Matthew chapter 13, and I'll read only one verse of Scripture. And hopefully I can preach on this one verse for at least 2 hours and give you what's there. There's a whole lot more in this verse than just meets the eye. And it's like I told you all yesterday that the Lord allowed me to go back into my files and pull out some old sermons I preached years ago. And I preached this one here, but I don't know when I didn't write it down. I don't know how long ago it was I put it together or preached it, but God let me have it fresh and new again, and I'm going to give it to you. You probably ain't remembered it no how. You probably don't remember. And if you wrote it down in your Bible, you probably still ain't going to get everything out of what you wrote down out of what I'm going to give you again tonight. How many times have you sang the song we sung tonight, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness"? So, and yet we sang it again tonight.
Yes.
And then Brother Justin said that this song no doubt milled around back and forth again in the life of David over and over again. He kept pulling it back, kept pulling it back, kept pulling it back. Maybe he's out somewhere getting ready to do something. He'd hear some old saint of God singing Psalm 11. So it would remind him of the things God had spoke to him about, what he had penned down. And I'm surprised at how much I forget and then how much I can remember when I go back to look at it. But I forget it, but when I go back and look at it, the words come back, the outline comes back, the thoughts come back. And so I believe God wants me to be reminded of these things for my own life. It's not that I'm going to give you something tonight that is just truth that we need to hear, but it's something that we need to apply our lives to. It is more than an education that's before us. It's an experience. And so I want you to experience these scriptures. And I want you to say, after I get done, oh, when God puts his kingdom in me, it is going to mess me up big time. I ain't never going to be the same again.
Amen.
It is going to permeate my soul.
Right.
Now, there's one thing I want to hit before I get into it, and that's something that I had heard as a young preacher, and I had written it down, and I believed it because an old preacher had said it, but even though I didn't really know that old preacher well, I was taught to respect what preacher said. And he was dealing with what they call the law of first mention. Well, I got a problem with that law.
I have too, brother.
Reason being,
yeah.
is because leaven here in my text is going to be dealing with the kingdom of God and not with sin. And there's one time when leaveneth the whole lump is a type of sin. That sin gets in the church and destroys the church and filters in through the church and fills the church up with sin. But this is about the kingdom of God being likened unto leaven. So that can't be about sin permeating the church.
That's right.
It's about the holiness of God and the righteousness of Christ filling your life up.
Right.
It's about when it gets put in you that you can't stop what it does.
That's right.
And you can't wash it out.
Yeah.
It stays there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sin can be washed out, but the kingdom of God stays there. And I want to preach on that tonight. I want to preach on it in this way. This is the labor, I believe, of the bride. And the reason that's a woman kneading the dough is because it's a kitchen setting. And that's what ladies do. And the church is considered God's lady. God's wife, if you want to call it that, if you may. His bride. And so, in this text, the woman, I personally believe, is a type of God's bride doing its work in his kitchen. And I'll tell you one thing about the kitchen, there's going to be some heat in it.
Yeah. Amen.
And if you can't take the heat, get out of that kitchen. So it might get hot tonight while I'm preaching about it. Something might get burning in you that you might say, uh-oh, I've missed the boat on that, and I ain't got that, and I need that, and I hope it bothers you bad, like what I preached on a little last night about being a disturbing message.
Amen.
Because if it'll disturb you, it might get your attention to figure out why you ain't right.
That's right.
And if you think you're right, you better find out if you're just thinking, because that sounds like Arminianism to me. I don't think I know. So I want you to look with me tonight in Matthew 13. Stand with me while I read this one verse of Scripture. Just one verse, verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, this is the parable of leaven, but I want to make it an experienced truth to you right now, and that is somebody is still working in the kingdom of heaven doing this. You know what my job is? You know what the job of the church is? To throw the kingdom of heaven in your life. To where when the kingdom of heaven gets in you, it permeates your soul. It takes over your dough. It takes over your flesh. It takes over your life.
Right.
And if it didn't get took over, you didn't get saved.
Amen.
If God don't take over you, and he doesn't take you over, then his kingdom is not the kingdom of heaven in you, because his kingdom, he sits on a throne.
Right.
And his people are his servants.
Yeah.
And they follow him and hear his words as he sits around them and gives it to them.
Amen.
So with the help of the Lord, I'll preach on this tonight. May we pray. Father, help us tonight. Thank you for what we've already heard. Lord, it's good to know that you're going to be with us as your children. And Lord, that we can help the foundations that have been destroyed to be rebuilt. Help us, Lord. That reminded me of a message I preached years ago on, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I preached, on fire, I think I did, about what the righteous can do. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that there's something that before me stood out, that this is something that not only can we do, but this is something you left us here to do. So help us, Lord, and also realize you're the one that really takes the kingdom of heaven and puts it in the heart. But God, you've chosen to use your church in these days, and I do believe that. I believe the Holy Ghost works through preaching. I believe he works through the pulpit. I believe he works through the pastor and the preacher and the people who are praying and serving you in the pew. Lord, I believe that those things that you gave us permeate those around us in such a way that they see what the kingdom of heaven has done for us. So, Lord, I pray you'd help tonight. I plead the blood of Jesus. Lord, I ask you, God, to put a vacuum about us. Might your angels come and minister to this service tonight. And Lord, give me that unction that I need. Thank you for helping Brother Justin tonight to help us. I pray, Lord, you'd help me to be a help also. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, as I began to look at these verses again today, or this verse and other verses that go along with this verse that I studied, I'm not going to give you any lengthy introduction, but it has to do with parables that Jesus had been preaching. Now, the two parables that are together here, one's the mustard seed, it's above this one, and then this leaven, this is right the next parable. There's other parables that are not fashioned in the same way. Now, what I mean by that, I'll explain that. They're not fashioned in the same way. The other ones, like the pearl of great price, it tells us how big the kingdom is. And then there's the treasure hidden in the field. And it's spoken of something that's big. But these are speaking of little things that take over you. Leaven is very small in its way of working. You're looking for something big. The kingdom of heaven don't always come that way. Leaven, I remember my granny. She used to make bread, homemade bread. She'd make it. And we didn't go to the store and buy a lot of bread when Grandma was at home. You know, we didn't do that because she'd knead it and then she'd take it. And I remember seeing her roll it. She'd roll it, and somehow or another, I don't know exactly how she did it, but I remember she'd take just a little pinch of something that was white, and she'd put that pinch of something in that dough. Or Grandma Rutherford, she'd pinch it, just a little pinch. Then she'd roll it over and cover it up with wax paper usually, and then put a towel over top of that. And when you'd come by a couple, 3 hours, it was getting fat. It was blowing up. It was getting bigger. And I asked her one time, I said, Grandma, what you putting in that? And she said, yeast. Well, now if you study leaven, it's yeast. And she said, just a little. I said, then you put just a little bit in there. She said, yeah, it doesn't take much. It just starts filling the bread all up. Just starts permeating it. And that is my first point. I want you to, my first point, I'm sorry, is the placing of the leaven. My grandma, it didn't fall on the bread by mistake. And if you look at the verse, it says she took that leaven and hid it in the meal, which means she did it on purpose.
Right.
She placed it in the bread on purpose.
Right.
I'm here to tell you something, friend. God wants the kingdom of God to be put in you, and when he does it on purpose.
Right.
And he uses his way to get it done. And it doesn't take a whole lot. It just takes enough to where it fills you up.
Right.
The placing of it. The woman took the leaven and hid it in the meal. Whenever you have a garden, you don't have a garden that has voluntary stuff in it usually. Now something may volunteer to come up here and there, and you'll let it grow because it volunteered. But most gardens are planted. And you do it all on purpose. You plow the ground up and you prepare the soil and all that. You know all about all that. And then you take the seeds and you put them in certain rows. You row them up. And you place the seed in the ground.
Right.
And God in his word says, listen, the church is here on purpose. Y'all understand that? When God saved me, he saved me in the church. He saved me in the setting of the church.
Yeah.
It wasn't crusades and wild worship.
That's right.
It wasn't a bunch of people jumping around with rock and roll singers on the stage.
Right.
I heard old-fashioned preaching and got in some old-fashioned prayer meetings. And I heard the saints of God shout about Jesus. And I heard the preachers giving everything they had. And you know what they were doing? They were taking that leaven. They were taking that leaf. It wasn't a whole lot all the time, but just a little bit. It's just a little bit. The church placed it in my life. And all of a sudden, I started going like this.
It was on purpose. You don't think that Brother Justin preached by mistake tonight, do you? You don't think God's led me to pull some of these things out of my life and bring them here with me when I got here? I didn't bring revival in my suitcase, but I brought some old files from the past that God had touched my heart with.
Amen.
And I felt like when I was going through them, preacher, I felt like God put his finger on that one. And then he put his finger on that one. And then he put his finger on that one.
Right.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Anybody getting this? Mm-hmm. This is a particular redemption. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen by mistake.
No, sir.
You didn't just happen to be born where you were.
Nope.
God determined the bounds of our habitation.
Amen. Is that good?
I was born where I was born. And my daddy heard preachers that he heard and heard about things he heard and had him come to our church. And God had his mind on Tim Rutherford. God had his mind on Tim Rutherford. You didn't know me. I didn't know you. But God. Oh, he took a woman called the church. Woo-hoo! And he took the kingdom of heaven and he just dropped it right down in my dough, right down in my soul, right down in my life, and it began to permeate my soul. I don't know if you're getting this like I am. I don't care. It filled me up. I mean, when that yeast, that leaven would get in that bread, there wasn't no stopping. Once she put it in there. Now, she could have immediately, where she put it, took a butcher knife and cut it out and throwed it away and said, well, I'm not going to leaven that bread. She never did that. I never seen her do that. When she put it in there, she left it in there. Ooh-wee. I'm all over my message on my first point, and I ain't even got to my second one yet. But when God put it in there, he wasn't planning on cutting it out. He wasn't planning on washing it out. Oh, no. Oh, no. No, the Lord had them things. I don't know how I come across those 7 or 12 sermons on repentance by Brother Spurgeon. But God used them to show me I had never repented. You never repented, boy. You never lined up with any of this kind of repentance. According to what the Bible calls repentance, you never lined up with any of it. God used those 12 sermons on Spurgeon on repentance. I read them over and over again. Until God proved it to me. You never repented, boy. You never had it in you. You never turned from who you were. You never turned from your sin. You never turned from your life. You never turned totally over to me. You just didn't want to go to hell when you died. And you wanted to go to heaven and you just wanted a quick fix. You wanted an asbestos suit. Now, he didn't tell me all that stuff, but now that I've been saved a while, all them terms are true.
Sure.
But I knew when I found out about reading about repentance that it was going to, except you repent. Boy, them verses preach to me. Luke 13:3. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And God took that gospel of the kingdom of heaven and dropped it down in my life. And it began to stir and then it began to move in me. That's the work of the gospel.
Right.
What changed David's life? I believe his testimony is in Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Brought me up also out of a horrible pit.
Yep.
Out of miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I believe that's a salvation testimony.
Right.
I believe it. What I'm saying is the Lord moved in him to change his life forever. Mm-hmm. The Lord had to move in you one day or one time or another to change you for, make you start, make
That's
something
right.
start permeating you that God on purpose put in you.
That's right.
Aren't you glad? I'm about ready to bust and cry out. Say, doing what? Just thanking him. I would say tonight, I'm the most undeserving of all in here to be saved. But he kept putting that. King of heaven just kept dropping it down into the soul and the spirit that was in Tim Rutherford. Oh, I'm so glad tonight. I don't deserve it. He bothers me now when I sin. He messes me up again. His kingdom of heaven leaven is still found in my life. It's still there. It's still working in me. Huh? It's not a finished work yet. But what the kingdom of heaven did was it started in a small place. Don't be looking for something big. Don't be waiting for a sledgehammer to hit you out of heaven. Be careful of that. Somebody done got hit with a hammer out of the sky. You don't need no hammer hitting you in the head. You just listen to the Holy Ghost. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, I want to kind of stay true a little bit to the text and to my outline that God gave me, so I'm trying. But listen, it's the placing of it, it says it was hid. It says in verse 33, the woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. Hid. Now that speaks of something that's done secretly, covertly. See, I don't know. I'm telling you, I don't know what's going on in your soul right now. I don't know how the kingdom of heaven is working in you right now because it's secret. She hid it. You know what you do with things that are real precious? You hide them. In case a thief comes in, you put them in a safe. You put them in a secret spot. I don't leave my keys laying on the counter. Any of my vehicle's keys are not on the counter when I leave the house. Thief come in, pick up a key, go out and take my car. I hide them. And then I forget sometimes where I hid them. I'm like that squirrel that puts the nuts in the ground. He can't remember where he put them. I think God just lets him put them there because we need more oak trees and hickory nut trees. That's why he does it. Then they forget. But I don't forget because I need new cars. And so I hide them to bury them to grow new cars. I hide them so that some thief won't come in and steal them. But that's secret work. But God knows where he put his stuff. And when he puts it there, he puts it there on purpose and remembers that he put it there. Hello? Yes, she hid. She hid it. You know why she hid it? Because what is expensive and precious is not just blowed out. Listen, there's some folk that would laugh. The pigs trample it under their feet. The hogs do. And the dogs puke it up. They don't want it. But God hides it in those and keeps it in safekeeping. See, I don't see what God's doing in you right now, Dan. I can't see it. But I'm taking the same truths, and I'm hiding them in you somewhere. Even if I don't realize that they're doing something right now, I'm hiding them and preaching the precious word of God to you. You don't think I'm doing this on purpose? You don't think I'm working in the kitchen on purpose?
That's right.
You don't think I'm putting that stuff in you on purpose? You don't think God's directing it? The very text itself? Hey, can I ask you how many other verses of Scripture are in the Bible, and yet God stuck his finger on this one tonight? And I'm telling you what's been burning in me all afternoon.
Good.
Yes! Covert. She hid it. But she placed it. She took it. If you take something, if I take this book, I just took it on purpose and put it in my hand for a purpose, just to show you an illustration of why I did it. But she took that yeast, that leaven, with in mind using it. And then guess what happens too? She gets to taste it and eat it herself too. Amen. And enjoy the work of God that's been going on in Amen. Her life.
Amen.
Oh yeah. When you see somebody get the kingdom of heaven in them, see them get saved. Ooh, you're eating that bread. Man, that's good bread. Woo! That's good bread. I'm getting in on the blessings of something that God let me do for Him. Of all things, He chose me to do this. Of all things, He took a woman and used this illustration, this parable in the Bible. Parable is an illustration, isn't it? It's something you listen. Everybody in here can understand what I just preached already, can't you? Most of y'all kind of country folk, ain't you? Did you have a grandma that made homemade bread? Any of you ladies make homemade bread anymore? I guess what's the use? You can go to the store and buy it. It's pre-cut. Somebody did raise their hand and say, I make homemade bread. Basically, the only reason folk make homemade bread now is because they do. Tastes better, I guess. It is better for you if you use real whole wheat and you grind it yourself and you don't use some processed stuff. But nonetheless, one of the reasons that God wants us to bake it is because it's better for us. You get it from somewhere else. That's what's going on today in modern evangelism and all that. It's store-bought.
Right.
Ain't no work going into it.
That's right.
Hello, you're welcome.
That's right.
Ain't no work going into it. Yeah, you can just go down the store and buy it, and then you set them in the pew, and they sit there like a loaf of bread with plastic wrapped around them.
Yeah.
If you put leaven in them, they're moving. Now, I'm telling you the difference between homemade bread and store-bought bread. Homemade bread moves on its way to getting fixed.
Right.
Yeah, most stuff's just dead and dormant. And I heard it years ago, and I still bears repeating, most churches should be called Refrigerator Baptist because they're just keeping dead things from stinking. That's all refrigerator does, right? Huh? Keeps dead things from stinking. But listen, say, where you at? I tell you where I'm at. This woman took it and hid it.
Right.
God hides things inside. Others can't see what God's doing in me right now. Now, you can see something on the outside. I do believe that happens. See, that bread starts going boom. Something went on the inside if you see something on the outside.
Right.
You watch these people say they got something on the inside and the outside is
yeah.
Oh, they blow up all right. Oh, yeah, they blow up. Ah. Well, you know something else about that bread. It has to get put in the oven and get cooked. It has to have heat put to it. You know, God just lets that bread have heat. Without heat, it never becomes good and edible. Now, some people do like dough before it's cooked, but I never did. I never did, but I like the taste of leavened, yeasted bread. I like the taste. It's got a different taste to it. Y'all ever ate homemade yeast bread? It's got a different taste to it, doesn't it? Tastes good. My grandma used to make it. We'd take that butter while it was hot. We'd take butter. She'd cut it. We'd take butter and put it on it, and we'd just soak into it. And that bread would go. Suck that bread, butter up, and then we'd take honey sometimes and put it on it and eat it. Woo! Woo! So good, make you want to kiss your mother-in-law. But I'm telling you, that's what kind of bread God makes. Huh? That's the kind of bread God makes. He makes it good. He does a good job. Don't tell me the kingdom of heaven doesn't do a good thing. Don't say, listen, if it ain't been a good thing in you, it ain't God's kingdom.
That's right.
Whatever God did in Genesis chapter 1, and He saw that it was good. He sees good things for His church. He sees good things in His church. Why do you think our Savior preached this message? So Tim Rutherford could to you tonight. You think so? So you'd get the message. So you'd hear it.
Right.
How many times have you read this and not thought about it being hid? Not thought about being something that was so precious it had to be put in a secret place. But it didn't stay secret, did it?
No.
It don't stay secret.
Right.
It shows up in the bread.
Sure does.
Boy, I wrote some things down about this. Not so much because it's secret, but because it's something that needs to be in safekeeping. See, it don't belong to everybody.
No. Right.
I'm sorry that this is true in one way, I'm sorry. But I'm telling you what, there's some folk, unless they got saved, I sure wouldn't want them in heaven. I mean, how many of you people want to walk down the street of gold with Hitler? Well, if God puts him in heaven, his heart will change. I got news for you. If his heart didn't change before he left out of this world, he ain't in heaven. If you ain't got heaven in you, you ain't going to heaven. If you don't enjoy the things of heaven right now, you ain't going to enjoy the things of heaven then. If heaven to you is all about whatever it might be, I don't know. Some women asked my daughter one day down in Tennessee. She was at a woman's fellowship. They said, well, what are we going to do in heaven if there ain't nowhere to shop? And my daughter looked at him and said, what?
Yeah.
If there ain't nowhere to shop. I just couldn't imagine not having a Kohl's down the road where I can buy me a nice dress. It looks good. What?
Come on. Come on.
In the world.
Right.
And you get in your car and you're listening to Waylon and Willie and the boys and they think they're going to go to heaven and listen to God's music and enjoy.
Yeah.
Ain't no way, honey.
Right.
You wouldn't fit. You won't fit with the music in heaven if you don't like it down here.
Right.
If you don't turn your crank down here, what makes you think you're going to have hoopla in heaven over it? Come on with me. I'm sorry. I'm not trying. I'm meddling. I know I'm meddling.
Keep on.
But the things of heaven are things that are pure and holy and righteous, of good report. If there be any virtue and be any praise, think on these things, as the Apostle Paul writes.
Right.
Things that are lovely.
Yeah.
Some people wouldn't like heaven because they're singing a song, drop me off at the jukebox when I die. Could you imagine going anywhere and some dead body being propped up by the jukebox while you're trying to eat? Forget that noise. That dude needs to be buried. Say, so did you listen to that music? No, I go into places and I hear it, and I'm so music-oriented. I'm sorry. I can't help but hear what they're saying. And then I'll say, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. I heard one song one time, I can't remember how the words go, but if there ain't no beer in heaven, I don't want to go there. Well, then you ain't. Don't worry about it. Because this kingdom of heaven is the permeated things of God. It's the things of God. And if you don't understand the difference between the things of God and the things of the world, then you ain't had the kingdom of heaven leaven put in your soul yet. My soul, before I got saved, the cigarettes was thrown out the window. I don't know how many times I went and bought another pack. But then I'd throw them out again. And then I finally got rid of all the country western music. I threw it all away. I didn't listen to rock and roll. I didn't like it. I didn't like Pink Floyd. Who wants a man's name that starts with pink? Something wrong with that. That dude's a sissy or something. Something wrong with that. Or Led Zeppelin. That's something that can't even fly. That don't make sense. But if it's lead, it ain't getting off the ground too far. And that stuff never made no sense to me. You know what? When God started dealing with me, he started doing a covert work in me. I was hiding my cigarette smoking. My daddy would have broke me in half with a 2x4. God was dealing with me. If you're going to be right with me, you can't have that in your life. That's before I got saved. I wonder about these people who said they got saved. And they continue on and continue on and continue on and continue on. Can't be. Now, I said last night, and I meant it, I'd rather a man smoke a cigar than be a gossip. I'd rather have a man smoke a cigar than gossip. But I didn't say that I wanted him to smoke cigars either. Well, I didn't say that.
If you got that out of it, you messed up.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Right.
So it's a covert. I don't know how God is working in your heart. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing I do know. I know that what I'm preaching must be going on with somebody right now.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
God wouldn't have me have your attention on it.
That's true. Yeah.
And if you say you're saved, you can look back and say, man, them things started working in me. They started blowing me up. They started filling my life up. See, because before it's over, that leaven, I'm already on my second point, been on it 3 or 4 times already. That first of all, there's a placing of the leaven. Secondly, there's a permeation of the leaven. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm going to show you. And then we're going to go back and look at Matt. If you can keep your finger, Matt 13. If you don't, if you already messed up and didn't do it, well, don't worry about it. You can go back to it. You can find Matthew again, can't you? Amen. 2 Thessalonians. He measures me, and I wrote the verse down. Let me find it now. It's 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. And the very God of peace sanctify you how? That holy, that means completely, altogether, permeation. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Faithful is he that calleth you also will do it. God's the one who is doing it. But it's your whole body, soul, and spirit. It's all. Listen, she hid this in 3 measures of meal. You think that's just a mistake? He said 3 measures?
That's good.
Listen, when God gives you the kingdom, even though your body ain't saved yet, it's done something to your body. Because even Job said, in my flesh, I'm going to see God.
Yeah.
And in one place, the psalmist said, my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You got something really picking up. You got some. You business is really picking up when you got people's flesh wanting God.
Right.
That's what the kingdom of heaven does. Even though your flesh ain't saved yet, something happens in such a big way that even your flesh learns that the things of God are better for it than anything else.
Right.
She hid it in 3 measures of meal. I got news for you. I want to help your flesh. And I don't want to poke too hard. I'm sorry. I'm going to penetrate your flesh with the kingdom and your spirit and your soul to be permeated with the same thing. So you'll get help in your whole life. Away with this stuff that doesn't help a man. Doesn't make him a better person at the church. You say, well, how could be any better? I'll tell you one way. If you really got saved, you'd probably be shouting and crying a little bit more with me. There'd be a few other people. See, the leaven got in you and you start blowing up in it. Something happens around you when God starts talking to you about what he did for you. Hey, do you remember the day? But I heard a little bit about your testimony, brother, out of church. When you started driving that old Mercury Marquis? You drove to that tent. And you just kept, you come in your shorts. And they never said nothing about them. God began to do something inside of you, didn't he? A covert. See, when I start talking about how God started dealing with you before you got saved, you understand this little droppings of the leaven of the kingdom of heaven. And it reminds you who are saved how God started putting things in you. And they started changing you.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Well, your spirit changes. Your emotions, your soul. It changes. Your intellect, your choices. Huh?
Yep.
You're welcome. Changes. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Mm-hmm.
And my Bible doesn't say old things are passing away. It says old things have passed away. And I realize that there are some things that are passing away, yeah. But, buddy, when I got saved, it just went. It's like that sword of the Spirit just cut it, divided it asunder. It's like that. I was saved so fast it was in the past tense. Hey, hey, this wonderful kingdom of heaven. This is a great kingdom, friends. Y'all, listen, it's better. Listen, I love the fact that I'm an American. I do. I'm sorry for where America's going. But I'm here to tell you something. There's something better than that. There's a kingdom better than any kingdom you've ever been involved in on this earth. Even better, I'm going to say this. Even better than David's kingdom. Because there were some flaws in it. There ain't no flaws in the kingdom of heaven. Not a flaw one. It doesn't fizzle. It doesn't fade. And it ain't got a flaw. Y'all be glad of that. Because you wouldn't have made it this far if the kingdom of heaven hadn't got you where you are now. Say, so the droppings of the kingdom of heaven. Well, let me see what I got written down here. It's put in three measures of meal. Now, not only then do I see that it's covert, which is secret, and that it controls because it takes over the whole bread. It's controlling, but it speaks of being contrite. Y'all, anybody here understand meal? Three measures of meal. You understand what that means? That's a crushed wheat. It comes whole when you get it, but when you make bread, you don't make it. You say, well, I get whole wheat bread. Yeah, but you don't put whole wheat in your mouth. Before it becomes bread, it gets crushed. When God puts something in, he doesn't put it in a rock. Hey, he doesn't put it in a stump.
Right.
Hey, he doesn't put it on concrete.
Right.
He hides it in meal. He has it hidden in meal. Something that is soft, something that's pliable, something that ain't hard no more. Listen, if you're still hard, I wonder what happened to you. It's hidden meal that. And I read it today just out of Psalm 51. I read Psalm 51 today. I'm reading through Psalms right now. Right? And I read that today. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Let me ask you, when you were ever ground to powder? When were you ever softened in such a way that it makes you realize how much better it is to be soft and hard? You know, I don't understand why folk like to be hard. And you know what hardens you? We'll pray for him. That can harden you. Anyways, you know what hardens you? The Bible says that lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You get somebody who loves sin and they're hard. You can't penetrate them. It's going to take a crushing work of the law to grind you down to powder. Nobody that's saved in here tonight got saved when they was hard-hearted. Not a one! Nobody has ever been saved hard-hearted. I'm even going to say nobody's ever been saved half-hearted. Or just head-hearted. Just what you know here. God does something down inside. A softening work, a crushing work. Oh, for the day when you see people weeping at an altar over their sin again. Used to call it the mourner's bench. There's a reason why they don't call it the mourner's bench no more. Ain't got very many mourners in the church. Not very many people shaking and under the pressure of their sin, begging God to forgive them for their wicked way. Oh, did God bring it back? Oh, listen, I won't have near the hard time myself as a preacher. If God's work's been done in you and you've been made soft, I ain't got to worry about what gets in you and how it's going to help you.
Don't get hard-hearted. Right. Don't get bitter. Oh. Don't get that way.
Right.
I don't get that way. But this whole world will make you hard. What's going on? Oh, what's going on in our country, like Brother Justin said tonight? Man, if you let that permeate your life all the time, you're going to end up being, whew, you're going to be hard. You're going to, whew, you can't let it. I can't let it. I can't let it stay there. I can't think about it too much. Makes my blood pressure get high. I told him that I want to become a 5-star general in the new Confederate Army. Sometimes I really feel that way as an American citizen, but as a Christian, I have to say, God, what he preached tonight, whatever comes my way as your child, help me to take it. Because they already hate us because we say sodomy is a sin.
Yep, yep.
We call it a sin. We call sodomites sinners.
Yes, sir.
And my Bible says the effeminate will not inherit the kingdom of God.
That's right.
It says, and such were some of you, which means when you get saved, you're a were now. You ain't one of them no more.
Right.
It's what it means. Sorry, it's what it means. You know what? A lot of people have changed over the years because now they've got daughters and sons who are homos and lesbians. So they get mad even when the preacher preaches against that sin because you don't love my son. You don't love my, ain't got nothing to do with loving him. It's got something to do with them loving God. And I ain't backing up.
That's right, preacher. Right. That's right.
And I don't pray to Mecca. I pray to heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've only got one king, and he's Jesus. That's it. You know what? You know what I'm going to say? You could let, though, these things around you make you hard. God helps us to stay praying and crying.
Yeah.
We had men's prayer meeting the week before I come here on Thursday night. We got in here, and we got to weeping and crying, begging God to help us. Boy. Well, we got done and all my men was up hugging each other. They said, boy, that was a good prayer meeting, wasn't it, preacher? Oh, boy, man, hearts are crying. One young man, he'd been in our prayer meetings, you know, on that Sunday night when I was preaching. He's on the front row, and God's dealing with him. He's 21 years old, and he started coming to our church not many months back. Was he there when you were there, big old Jonathan? He's on the front row Sunday night going, I thought, buddy, woo, something's happening. That business is picking up. When you see a 21-year-old boy who's 6'3", and he's all man, I'm crying like that on the front row of the church, sitting on the front row, crying out loud like he didn't care what anybody thought. Got men's prayer meeting. My son poked me. Did you hear Jonathan tonight over there crying while we? Woo! You know what? When you see somebody coming to the altar and they're weeping, you think, oh, something good's going on. Of course, you don't know what they're weeping about, but you hope it's because because they're troubled about who they are and how bad they are to God, and how bad they are in front of God.
Yeah.
You hope it's a contrite and crushed spirit.
Yes, sir.
That's saying, God, I'm sorry for what a sinner I am. I'm sorry for how bad off I am. I'm sorry I don't love you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I love myself more than I do you. Buddy, I'm telling you, when the contrite heart starts, man, it's something soft in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all hear me? Yeah. Well, I used to like you, preacher, but you've already said something this week that made me upset. Well, I'm sorry. Hey, let me say this to you. I'm sorry if I made you upset about something that wasn't worth getting upset about. I'm sorry. That's, of course, if I made you get upset about something that wasn't important. That's if. And I don't know that I've ever said that yet this week. But if you think I have, would you please forgive me and get over it and pray that God would change my heart about it?
Yeah.
You ain't done that yet, have you? God help your poor, hard soul. Because I prayed for you. That God would show you.
That's right. Right.
So please pray for me. And then both of us will be praying.
Uh-huh.
Somebody said to me not long ago, they said, I'm praying for you. I said, good, you need the prayer. I mean, I need the prayer and you need the practice.
Right.
Amen. I mean that too. I'm not just saying that just be funny. It's true. We need to pray for one another because you need to practice praying and you need to be prayed for.
That's right.
Huh? Anybody else here that thinks you don't need to be prayed for? You're in bad shape already. You're already too good right now, and you've attained. Huh?
That's true.
You should hear that song when I was born. I want my friends to pray for me to bear my burden hard on high, that I might good and faithful be and live with them and Christ on high. I want my friends to pray for me. You ever heard that song? Huh? You ever heard that? You all want me to pray for you. I want you to pray for me. I need it. Because we're living in such a hard society. I've been to funerals in recent days. Nobody even crying. They're all talking around, standing around the casket laughing. People used to weep because they loved their loved ones so much they started to see them go. I remember when Brother Gary sat up here with his wife in that casket. Her body in there. She wasn't in there, but he loved her. And he said, this is hard. I had to quit working in the funeral home because I cried at every funeral. and the man that run the funeral home said, you can't do that. I said, well, I don't want to get hard like you and see so much death I don't even care about somebody losing their loved ones anymore. He said, I ain't never met nobody like you. And then some of the people would go to him and say, who's that worker down there that was standing at the end of the casket? Well, that's Tim, he said. Man, he was crying. He don't even know us. And he was crying about their funeral. And they complimented him on having me working there. So I didn't lose my job. You know, there's something. I want to be soft. I don't want to get hard. I don't want to get hard. And I know if you get hard, the kingdom of heaven ain't going to permeate you. They're going to help you. Pray God keep you soft. I don't know. I know I'm just getting around on everything in this message. I can't help it. That's what I'm doing. You see, I find it covert. I find it hidden in there. I find it in a contrite, crushed position. Huh? And I find it changing what it permeates. I find it changing. I'm about done now. I'm about done. I'm trying to help you to understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm telling you, Brother Justin, I'm glad you preach what you preach, because now I see where it fits what God wants me to preach. Be steadfast and keep doing it, because it's worth it.
Yes.
Keep serving God, because it's worth it. You're going to help somebody around the kingdom of heaven. If it's in you, they're going to see it in you. They're going to feel it around you. They're going to taste it in the bread.
Yeah.
Glory to God!
Amen.
Woo! Hey, He inhabits the praises of His children. Psalm 22 says He inhabits their praises. Have you ever studied the word inhabit? It doesn't mean He's sitting there. It means to be ambushed. It means you're praising God, and all of a sudden He shows up around the corner and says, woo! And He ambushes you. And then God's presence begins to permeate. Woo, buddy, I'm telling you, there ain't nothing like the saints of God knowing what they got from God.
Yep.
You know what God's done in you to bring you where you are? How blessed you are to be, to have God, have God put you where the yeast, the leaven of the kingdom of heaven could get put in you. You say, how many times are you going to say it? Until it makes you feel so good about it.
Right.
Huh. Oh! I'm sorry, I'm so excited. I'm going to give you my second point. I'll give you my last one. That is, it prevails.
Yeah.
It prevails. Look at it, verse 33 again, back in Matthew 13. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took, hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. You say, preacher, I hope God keeps working on me. Let me tell you something about the church.
Let me tell you something about the work of the church. The work of the church ain't going to quit. The gates of hell cannot prevail, shall not prevail against the church. The church is going to keep putting the kingdom of heaven around you. And, hey, listen, she kept on doing it till.
Yep.
Till.
That's it.
That's a time word. Mm-hmm. I mean, she kept on until it did its job.
Amen.
Let me tell you something about God's men. Let me tell you something about God's church. Let me tell you something about God's people. They don't quit till the hole is leavened.
Amen.
There's something in us that keeps us going.
Right.
See, we know the good of the end result.
Yeah.
We know how good it'll be for you to get it, and we ain't quitting. Till the hole is leavened, it prevails. I wrote some verses down, and I'll be closing with them. And it's all about, of course, you said, I thought this was all about the church. Well, no, it's about what God does in the church. It's about how he deals. First of all, the kingdom work fails not. You understand? Listen to me. It fails not. Listen, Isaiah 42:4. He shall not fail. That's what it says. Numbers 23:19, last five verses. Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Micah 7:20. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob, and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Wow. 1 Samuel 3:12. When I begin, I also will make an end. Isaiah 46:11. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. You know why the church keeps going? Because the church knows that the God of heaven won't fail, and that the work of God won't fail. And I'm not going to fail if I'm on the winning side.
Right. Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah. Bro, Tim, you're bad. Your heart's bad. You wouldn't know it, and I don't know it.
Amen.
I might get it figured out someday. If my heart's bad, I might get it figured out someday. Listen, not only the kingdom work fails not, I want to ask you a question. Who's as strong as God? Not only it fails not, it faints not.
Right.
Right. It doesn't pass out and get out of breath and fall over on the floor, and somebody have to come over and resuscitate it.
Nope.
You don't have to resuscitate God. He's in the business of breathing life into you like he did Adam.
Right.
He failed. The kingdom of heaven fails not. The kingdom of heaven faints not. I'm going to tell you this and close with it. The kingdom of heaven is frustrated not. God ain't wringing his hands saying, oh, no, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I don't know how I'm going to fix this one. I don't know how I'm going to make myself look good now. Are you kidding? God ain't even frustrated.
That's right.
We heard it tonight. He sits on his throne and reigns on it.
Right.
And I read it today. Be still and know that I'm God. He ain't frustrated. Now, the only thing that keeps me from being frustrated is God ain't. Because I'll guarantee you, if it wasn't for God not being frustrated, I would be so frustrated, I'd find me another job. I'd find something that was always producing something every time I was there. And you know what would happen? I'd find out that I had a job that wouldn't do it when I thought it was. I might as well go back to the other job. I shouldn't have quit in. Listen, you shouldn't quit in the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
There ain't no quitting place here.
Right.
Say, Brother Tim, we hope you don't get so bothered by us that you just can't do it no more and you get so burdened. And we say, what's the use? What?
No.
Well, I might if I didn't know who the kingdom of heaven belonged to. Thing I worry about, you're going to get frustrated with me. Long-winded outfit. I ain't got no clue what time I got in the pulpit, and I don't know what time it is now. I feel like I preached what I was supposed to preach. Now, you say, well, how do you close with a message like this? I really don't know. I ain't learned how to close. You know what? The more I'm in this thing, somebody said, what about the answers? I said, I've got to where I can't even figure out the questions no more, let alone the answers. But I do know one thing. God saved me. God called me. And I don't know all the reasons why. But I read a message today. How can I go back on God when He's been so good to me? How can I even think about quitting or failing God when He's never failed me and never quit on me? So I'm done. Till the hole was leavened.
Amen.
Something that keeps us going. But Lord, I've done my best tonight to preach what I felt like You laid on my heart. And I want to thank You for giving me help tonight. I feel like You did. Lord, how can I not preach something that's burning in me like this one did? Now, Lord, You know all about me, and You know about my weaknesses, and You know about my sicknesses. Even now, You know about them. Lord, You know about my need for You right now. And Lord, You know about one of my unspoken requests, and I'm going to go ahead and make it public now. Lord, You know what it is. I have an unspoken request. I want You to heal something in me. I'm going to ask You, Lord, right in front of my friends, to help me with it. And Lord, if you do, I'll praise You. And if you don't, I'll praise You. I just want You to know I need Your help.
Amen.
And I'm looking to You for it. I want to trust You.
Amen.
The enemy's already bent their bow against me.
Yeah.
Said I'm not going to make it. I'm going to die. I'm not going to keep serving You because I'm just going to have to quit. Lord, I just want to thank You for what You have done. And up to this point, I'm all right. And I want to thank You for it, and I want to ask You to help me.
Yeah.
But I want to ask You to help me keep doing what You've called me to do.
Yeah.
Lord, I wouldn't be very happy if I couldn't do what You've called me to do anymore. But I could say I've been blessed up to this point.
Yeah.
I've been so blessed,
yeah,
and so undeserving of all the blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I want You to help my friends, and I want to help them. And I feel like the message tonight is saying the church is in the business of doing the work of the kingdom.
Amen.
I believe You've left us with the work. As my Father has sent me, even so send I You. So, Lord, I believe tonight we did what You asked us to do. The church did what You asked it to do. We're not looking for praise from You about it. We're praising You for allowing us to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Now, Father, I just ask You, please, to take these truths tonight, not just that I preached, but that Brother Justin preached. Precious truths, nuggets,
yeah,
gold nuggets out of the, yeah, Word of God. And might people mill them around in their soul. And, Lord, like a good morsel of bread, might they roll it around in their taste and see how good You are. And I pray now You'll help in Jesus' name. Every heart. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Does anybody need to move tonight? Does anybody need to come pray? Does anybody need to believe God that He's doing this? Just what was preached tonight. He is doing this. This is His work. The reason it's going like it is because God put it in His church to keep doing it. Anybody here need to be thankful tonight about it? You'd be thankful for it. Amen.